Today, we continue in our study of Mishnayos Maseches Menachos with lesson number 6, the second and third Mishnah of the third Perek, Perek Gimel, Mishnah Beis, and Mishnah Gimel. Before beginning Mishnah Beis, which speaks about procedures in the Korban Mincha which were not performed, I'd like to give you a brief outline which is provided by the commentary, the 19th century commentary, Tiferes Yisroel, which kind of outlines the various steps of the major types of Korban Mincha. That is to say, the major examples of a Korban Mincha which was brought benedova, which is brought voluntarily as a gift offering by an individual. The most common mincha is the minchas soles, which consists of flour, which is neither baked nor fried, neither in a pan nor in a deeper vessel nor in an oven, but it's simply flour and oil. So here are the steps for this Korban Mincha, the basic Korban Mincha Solas. The person who offers the Korban brings an Isoron, a quantity of Solas called an Isoron, and with that Isoron, a log, a liquid measure of shemen, of oil, olive oil. And he takes some of that shemen and puts it into an ordinary vessel, and upon it pours the solas. So for starters, you have a klichol, a ordinary, non-sanctified vessel, in which there's some oil at the bottom and flour on top. Then he performs the procedure known as yitzika, pouring. He pours a little bit more of the shemen upon the solas, and then he performs what's called the belila, the mixing or the stirring together of the oil and the solas. So you have a little bit of oil underneath the solas, the yitzika of oil on top of the solas, and then the belila, which mixes it all together. All this is performed in an ordinary none or unsanctified vessel. After the belila, he takes the mixture and puts it into a klishores, into a sanctified vessel. Again, there are various secondary opinions about the sequence that I'm describing, but I'm giving you the main line for the purposes of understanding the Mishnah, which we should study today, Mishnah number 2. So now in the klishores, you have the mincha belula, the mincha which has been stirred together with the oil, and then a second yitzika, in which the rest of the shemen is poured upon the mixture. So now you have all the shemen poured into the vessel, and in that vessel is the soles, the flour, mixed together with the oil. Then a kometz of lavona, a bit of incense, is placed upon the solas. And the entire compound is brought to the kohen. So now the kohen has the klishores, in which there is a mincha belula, solas mixed with oil, and lavona on top of it. The Kohen takes it and brings it to the southeast corner of the altar, of the Mizbeach. And he takes the vessel and places it, moves it toward, he does what's called a hagosha, he approaches the altar with his arms extended and the vessel, the klishores, the sanctified vessel, with the mincha in it, toward the corner of the southeast corner of the altar. Then the Kohen gathers together, scoops out, so to speak, the grains of incense, the gargarei halavona, and moves them towards one side so that the lavona is in essence separated from the rest of the mincha. Then he performs the kamitza. He inserts his hand, his fingers, and scoops out 3 fingers full of the oily flour, and takes that kometz, that 3 fingers full, and puts it into a second kli shores. Then he gathers together the lavona, which is left in the first kli shores, and puts it on the kometz in the second kli shores. So at this point, you have 2 vessels. In one is the kometz of the oily mincha plus some of the lavona incense. In the other vessel are the shirayim, the leftover oily flour. He takes the vessel with the kometz, puts it upon the altar, salts it, and puts it upon the fire, and the fire consumes it. So the contents of the first vessel are now consumed in the fire. Namely, the fire now consumes the kometz of the mincha and the lavona. And the other vessel, which contains the shirayim, the leftover flour and oil mixed together, is eaten by the kohanim. That is the procedure of a minchas solas. Notice, no baking has taken place before the Haktorah. There are other types of korbanos mincha, which are brought voluntarily, benedova, and 2 of them are rather similar. They are the minchas machavas, where the mincha is prepared in a flat frying pan type of vessel, and the minchas mercheshes, which is a deeper vessel, more like a small pot than a pan. Here, the procedure begins the same as with the minchas solas, except here, after the belila, after the flour is mixed with the oil, water is added to the mixture, and the mixture is kneaded, K-N-E-A-D-E-D. He performs the act of lisha, of kneading together the oily flour and water, lukewarm water, by the way, and he bakes it either in the machavas pan, flat pan, or in the marcheshes, a deeper pan, and he bakes out of it 10 chalos matzos, 10 matzos, what we would call today 10 matzos. After they're baked, then he crumbles, he does what's called, excuse me, pesisa or petita. He crumbles the matzos into bits, pieces, which are the size of a zayas, of an olive. And he pours on those crumbs, crumbled bits of baked matzah, the rest of the oil which is left in the log. He puts it all into a kli shores, and there he puts lavona on top of it, brings it to the kohen. The kohen does the hagosha to the southwest corner of the mizbeach, brings it to the altar, salts it, and puts it upon the fire, and the fire consumes it. The remainder, not put on the fire, is given to the is eaten by the kohanim. There's another category of korban mincha, which is a minchas ma'afei tanur, a mincha baked in the oven. There are 2 subtypes of mincha ma'afei tanur. One is when he vowed to give a oven-baked mincha of chalos, of loaves, as opposed to rakikin, flat biscuits. And here, the kohen does not put any shemen into the original, the first vessel, but rather he immediately performs the belila. He mixes together the soles with all the shemen, and kneads it, K-N-E-A-D-S, performs lisha in lukewarm water. Then he bakes it in a tanur, and he bakes it in a way so that there are 10 chalos. He performs petisa, he crumbles those chalos into bits. He puts those bits of chalos into a kli shores. He sprinkles upon it the Lavona incense. He brings it to the Kohen. The Kohen does what he has to do. He does the Hagosha to the Mizbeach, to the southeast corner of the Mizbeach, southwest corner of the Mizbeach, and takes it up to the Mizbeach, salts it, and puts it on the fire. In the case of a person who donated voluntarily a mincha of Ma'afei Tanur type 2, rikikim, biscuits, here he does another procedure, and that is after he kneads the soles mixed with the oil after he mixes the soles with water without the oil and makes rikik and dry biscuits, just flour and water, bakes them in the tanur, then takes the oil and performs the act of meshicha, smearing, anointing, so to speak, the rikikin with oil. We will learn later exactly the nature of the meshicha and how he does that. And the main point is, the rest of the shemen, which is not used for the meshicha, for the smearing, is eaten by the kohanim. Now, let's continue with the Mishnah itself. The Mishnah mentions many, many of the procedures which I've outlined as being the proper procedure, and points out that in various instances, if one or another of those steps in the procedure was not performed, the mincha is nevertheless kosher. So, lo yotzak. Suppose the shemen was never poured upon the mincha, but rather he put all of the oil in one vessel before he put it into the soles, and never poured the shemen onto the soles. So the way our Mishnah reads, lo yotzak would be kosher. However, the Gemara explains, no. The yitzika is required. You have to pour the shemen, the oil, into the flour. However, as the Gemara understands in Mishnah, lo yotzak kohen elazor. Suppose the kohen did not perform the yitzika, the pouring of the oil, but rather a non-kohen, it would still be kosher. Similarly, lo bolal, if he never mixed together, stirred together the flour with the oil, again, the Gemara says, the kohen didn't do that, but a zor, a non-kohen, did that, that too is kosher. Lo potas or posas, if for those karbanos mincha which require petisa, crumbling, like the minchas machavas or marcheshes, if petisa was not performed, it still is kosher. Lo molach, if he didn't salt the karban mincha, that is to say, he didn't salt the entire karban mincha, but only the komets, because the melicha of the komets is required. Nevertheless, if he only was salted the komets, not the mincha, it would be kosher. Lo heinif, certain korbanos mincha, like the mincha which a sota brings, or the mincha which is brought on together with the korban omer on the 16th day of Nisan, they require tenufa. The Kohen must take the korban mincha and wave it in a certain fashion, which we will study about the later Mishnah. If that tenufa was not performed, or lo higish, the Kohen never performed the hagosha, bringing the korban mincha to the Mizbeach, the southwest corner of the Mizbeach. O shepetosan pitim mirubos, or he crumbled those korbanos mincha, like minchas machavas and minchas marcheshes, which require crumbling, if he crumbled them into big chunks, ideally they should be the size of a keziah, if he made them larger than a keziah, or he made many of them so that some of them or all of them are less than a keziah, or velo mishochon, in the case of the minchas ma'afet tanur type B, where he makes rekikin, he did not smear the oil upon them. In all these examples, if these shinuyim, these changes were done, and it was not done entirely properly, nevertheless, kosheros, the karba mincha is kosher. However, suppose nisorev kumtza. Suppose after the kometz is removed from the mincha, the fingers full of flour is removed from the mincha, becomes mixed together. My korban minchas kometz becomes mixed together b'kometz chavrata with your korban minchas kometz, or b'minchas kohanim, my korban minchas kometz becomes mixed up with a kohen's korban mincha kometz, or b'minchas kohen ha-moshiach, or my korban, I'm not a kohen, my korban minchas kometz becomes mixed together and confused with the korban mincha which the kohen gadol brings every day, or b'minchas nisochin, my personal korban minchas kometz becomes mixed together with the kometz, with the mincha which comes with an animal offering. Remember, various animal offerings are accompanied by a korban mincha. Now, all of these korbanos mincha listed above are consumed upon the mizbeach, just as the kometz is consumed upon the mizbeach, kashero. So you can take the whole mishmash of my kometz mixed together with Mr. Kohen's mincha, or Mr. Kohen Gadol's minchas chavitin, or with the minchas nesochim, the whole thing can be put upon the mizbeach and consumed, because all of the above, my kometz of my komet, my I'm a Yisrael, my kometz of my korba minchas nedova, or kohen's mincha, kohen gadol's mincha, etc., they all go upon the mizbeach. They are all consumed upon the mizbeach. They are called olin, meaning they go up to the mizbeach. And we have a halacha. Ein olin mivatlin ze. If there are various korbanos, all of which have to go upon the mizbeach, and before they're placed upon the mizbeach to be consumed in the fire there, they become all mixed up together. No matter, take the whole mishmash, and put it on top of the mizbeach. They all have to be consumed anyway. However, Rabbi Yehuda Omer b'minchas kohen ha-moshiach u'minchas nesochim, if the kometz of my kometz of my personal minchas nedova becomes mixed up with the mincha of a kohen gadol or the minchas nesochim which accompanies an animal offering, then pesula, then it is not kosher. Why? Shezo belilasa ava. Belilasa ava means when you take a liquid and flour and mix it in such a way that there's relatively little liquid and a lot of flour. So the whole mixture is very thick and pasty. It's called belila ava. Now, the halacha is that my korban mincha, which I, a non-kohen, brought, I take one log of shemen to an isoron of soles. So, just relatively little oil with a lot of flour, and the mixture is thick and pasty. However, the mincha of the kohen gadol, and the same thing, the minchas nesochim, which accompanies an animal korban, they are belila rako, because there, three logim of oil go for one isoron of solas. So the mixture is not so pasty, it's kind of loose and almost like jello. And if that's the case, so my korban, which is belila ava, becomes mixed up with v'zo b'lilos oraka, with the minchas kohen ha-moshiach, or with the minchas nesochim, which are more diluted. In which case, hein bolos zo mizo, my korban mincha will begin to absorb some oil from the Kohen Gadol's Korban Mincha, and vice versa. Some of my soles is going to be moved over to the Kohen Gadol's Korban Mincha. In that case, the Kohen Gadol's Mincha will be missing some shemen. My Korban Mincha is going to have too much shemen. The shemen now will be mevatel my soles. It will outdo, outflank, outflood my soles. Some of the Kohen Gadol's Mincha will be missing some shemen. And therefore, says Rabbi Yehuda, my Korban and the Kohen Gadol's Korban of the Minchas Nesachim are pesula. The ta'aroves, the mixture, becomes posul. So this is Mishnah Beis. Now let's move on to Mishnah Gimel. Again, Mishnah Gimel addresses mix-ups. Shtei menachos shelo nikbitzu. Suppose I brought a Korban Mincha and you brought a Korban Mincha. You're not a Kohen. And I'm not a Kohen. So, and the kamitza was never performed. The three fingers full of flour was not yet scooped up. So all you have is a vessel with oil in it and flour, etc. But the kamitza was not performed. Vinis arvu zu bazu. And my korban mincha, your korban mincha, got mixed up in the same vessel. So, im yochol likmotz mizo bifnei atzmo, mizo bifnei atzmo. If yours is kind of on this side of the vessel, and mine is on that side of the vessel, and the Kohen can easily put his hands, his fingers, into mine separately and into yours separately and to perform separate kamitzos, wonderful. Kasheros, they're both kosher, because I'll have a kometz taken from my mincha, you'll have a kometz taken from your mincha, and everything is fine and dandy. But v'yim lav, suppose, no, they're too close together, and the Kohen cannot easily see one apart from the other so that he can insert his fingers separately into mine and into yours. Then, pisulos, because I can't have a Kohen take a kometz from my mincha if in his fingers he's also going to be taking some soles from your Korban Mincha, and vice versa. The Kohen can't insert his fingers into your Korban Mincha and remove a kometz if there's a possibility that in his kometz, in his fingers full of flour, some flour from my Korban Mincha. So in that case, pesulos. The Korbanos Mincha are not kosher, but posel. Suppose hakometz shenis are b'mincha shelo nikmitzo. Suppose I bring a korban mincha, and the Kohen has performed the kamitza on my korban. So my kometz now is standing apart, and now it becomes mixed up in your korban mincha, where the kometz was, the kamitza was not yet performed. Lo yaktir. Then you can't put the whole mix up, the whole compound, into the tarovis, my kometz plus your mincha, which was not yet nikmitza. Because the mitzvah of haktorah, of placing it upon the fire, only applies to my kometz, not to yours. And to do another kamitza is not possible, because the kometz can now become a kometz taken from your korban mincha can now contain some of the flour from my kometz. That wouldn't be proper. However, v'im hiktir, if my kometz of my mincha becomes mixed up with your mincha shelo nikmitza, and the Kohen took the whole compound, my kometz plus your unkometzed mincha, and put it upon the fire of the mizbeach im hiktir, zoshen nikmitzo also lebala. No, my kometz was consumed upon the fire. Yeah, it was mixed up with other stuff, but my whole kometz was burnt upon the fire. So I'm fine dandy. However, you, who have the korban mincha which never had a kometzah, v'zoshen lo nikmitzo lo also lebala. Because a minchas nedava can never become executed without a kamitza. The kamitza is essential, and your mincha never had a kamitza. So therefore, you, poor fellow, must bring another korban mincha. Suppose Nisorev Kumtzo Bishiorecha. I brought a carbon mincha. The Kohen performed the kmitza and removed the fingers full of flour from the oily mix. So, which is really the shiorayim, which is the leftover, which ideally should be eaten by the Kohanim. Now, my kometz became mixed up together with the shiorayim, with the rest of my carbon mincha. Or my kometz became mixed up with the shiurayim of your karban mincha after the kometz was properly done on your karban mincha. Lo yaktir. So I can't take this mixture of kometz plus shiurayim, my shiurayim or your shiurayim. I can't put it upon the mizbeach because the shiurayim are not to be placed upon the mizbeach. The shiurayim are supposed to be eaten. And there's a mitzvah in the Torah, Lo saktiru mimenu isho l'ashem, which Chazal darshan to mean, kol shemimenu l'ishim, anything from which something was taken to be placed upon the fire. Like the shirayim, of which the kometz was already removed, to that leftover is applied the lav of lo saktiru. You can't put something upon the mizbeach which is not designated to be upon the mizbeach. And here the shiurayim are meant to be eaten by the kohanim, not to be placed upon the mizbeach. So therefore, you should not put this mixture of kometz plus shiurayim onto the mizbeach. But v'im hiktir, if he did it, also labalim, the person who owns the kometz, so to speak, in this case, me, I gave this korban. A kohen performed the kmitza for me. This kometz is going to be for me. It was placed upon the fire, albeit together with the shirayim, which should not have been placed upon the fire. Nevertheless, the kometz was consumed. Also labalim, I am yotze, and I don't have to bring a korban mincha. Nitmo hakometz, suppose I bring a korban mincha, the kohen performs the kometz. Now the kometz became tomei vihikrivo, and even though it should not have been placed upon the mizbeach because it's tomei, it was touched by a sheretz or whatever, but it was mistakenly, erroneously, accidentally, unintentionally put upon the mizbeach, hatzitz meratze. The fact that the kohen gadol wears upon his head a headband called the tzitz, that tzitz has the power to make acceptable, to render ratzui, to render desirable a korban which is brought bituma. As the pasuk says, V'hoyo al meitzach aharon v'noso aharon es avon hakadoshim. When Aaron, the Kohen Gadol, is wearing the tzitz, and actually even when he's not wearing the tzitz, the tzitz has the power to forgive the sin of bringing a korban in a state, when the korban is in a state of tumah. The tzitz is meratze upon tumah. However, suppose the kometz did not become tomei, but yotza, the kometz left, was taken out of the precincts of the Beis HaMikdash, or outside the Azora, outside the temple courtyard. So now there's a different psul. The psul is called Yotze. It's left its precincts. And Vehikrivo, and you take it back in and put it upon Mizbeach, Ein HaTzitz Meratze. The tzitz can only bring about the desirability, the acceptability of a korban, of a emurim, the animal parts of an animal which are supposed to go upon the Mizbeach, or in our case, the kometz, which is supposed to go upon the Mizbeach. The tzitz only has the power to take a kometz which became tomei and make it kosher. But if the kometz was not posel because of tumah, but was posel because of yotzei, the Mishnah concludes, Ein hatzitz meratze. The tzitz cannot make it acceptable. Shehatzitz meratze al hatomei, ve'eno meratze al hayotzei. The tzitz has the power over tumah. Gemara explains why. It does not have the power over the psul, the problem, the defect of yotzei. And so we have finished lesson number 6, and in the process have completed Perek Gimel, Mishnah Beis, and Gimel of Misnayos Meseches Menachos.